9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim Davis, along with Katie Mitchell from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Got some Qdoba questions of the day for you to ponder with OU and Texas plotting their escape from the Big 12 to go to the SEC. Should Colorado consider going back to the Big 12? Sentimental reasons, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking there's not going to be a Big 12 to go back to the way things are looking. And the more I read, the more it sounds like this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. OU and Texas will end up eventually going to the SEC.
Well, like you said, Paul Feinbaum usually has his ear on the ground when it comes to this stuff. And he's saying it looks like it's going to happen. So, tend to agree with what he says.
Right. So, you got some thoughts on that today. NFL putting out a memo yesterday essentially saying, look, if we have positive COVID tests, we'll try to reschedule if possible. But there's also the chance teams could have to forfeit games. And that both teams in a game, both the players on those teams, will lose game checks if there's a forfeit. Got some thoughts on that today as well. 970-242-1340. Got one from Mike this morning on that subject. In order to understand the NFL's new rule on COVID-19, you must look at the entire NFL league as one team. I agree with Roger in regards to fining both teams. It is a responsibility for everybody in the league to try to do what they can to ensure a season happens. And like I want to be respectful of people and their decision to get the shot or not. Here's where I might lose some of you. And if I do, I'm sorry. Because I'm sure I've said things before that I probably have lost some members of the pile. Smallpox, polio, other diseases. There was no qualms about having a vaccine, of getting the shot to prevent some of these things. One year I was reluctant to have a flu shot because I had a flu shot the year before and it made me sick as a dog.
Mm-hmm. Likewise, I did the same thing.
But then again, I went back and had flu shots after 1 year of taking a year off from having a flu shot. Then I had flu shots after that.
Well, and for me, it was I got really sick. And I didn't get mine for a long time. And then this kind of helped me reassess that decision. Like, right. The flu shot again. It's not just about keeping me safe. It's about keeping everybody safe. People who could be affected if they get the flu,
And sometimes I wonder how much is it that you're opposed from some kind of medical standpoint to the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
or it's your political position.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of that with us, and that's what makes it frustrating.
And I have a lot of friends, red and blue, purple too.
Mm-hmm.
They've all had the shot. For some people, I yesterday had lunch, and I won't say his name on the program, but we had wonderful lunch, wonderful discussion about this, and there was no hesitancy on his part to be vaccinated. I just think that I'm not here to preach or make people feel bad.
No.
I'm not here to belittle. We're a sports show. And I've always tried to take that approach, whether it's been the subject of kneeling or and the reasons why that has occurred or wearing masks or all these kind of things. And I try to focus on what's between the lines,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes that's really hard to do.
It is.
And in the last, several years, it's been really hard to do. It's the part I would prefer to focus on. But I guess I just don't understand the reluctance to do it. I don't. I read, I try to be well-informed about things, and I want people, you make your own decision, okay? And I'm not trying to tell anybody that I think you're a bad person because you didn't get the vaccine. Somebody else that I know, different person I had lunch with yesterday who got vaccinated, somebody else that I know really, really well in this business doesn't work here, doesn't think he should get vaccinated, isn't comfortable with it, a guy that I have tremendous respect for, like him immensely, consider him a friend, made the decision that he doesn't want to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also had an impact on his job a little bit, on things that he's been able to do in terms of interaction with players and things like that. Because of him not being vaccinated, he's made that decision, and he's had to accept there have been limitations on what he's allowed to do.
Yeah.
Because of that. I struggle with the, you know, why people aren't more receptive to it. Just out, take away the political aspects of it.
Yeah.
Just from a health standpoint, I get that there are people who are concerned about the time frame in which they developed it. But there are also scientific reasons why that time frame was shorter than it normally is. Things that they did that allowed the vaccine to be created in a more expedient fashion.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with those things. I don't know. I struggle with it because, to me, it shouldn't be something political. It shouldn't.
And, you know, for me, it was my decision to get vaccinated was really weighing upon my, I don't want to say fear, but that was kind of it before we had the vaccine, and how it was like, how do you protect yourself? How do you protect other people? This is so, you know, consuming as far as how we all stay safe. So when the vaccine became available, I was like, I'd rather feel more protected than feel unsafe, right? So that's what the weighing in on me did. But then also now, if you take in the NFL players, because I try and put myself in their shoes, if it was added on that now my getting vaccinated weighed on whether other people are getting paid, and this is, that would make me want to get it even more.
That's tough. Yeah, when all of a sudden now you're, you know, the decision to not have it could have an impact on other people in their lives. I mean, already you already have a potential impact on other people's lives.
Yeah.
Just by transmission. This is now something that impacts people's livelihood.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I want to take a moment to talk about that. I don't like to talk politics on the program. I know we don't all agree. When we agree far, far less than we ever have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when Mike makes a comment about, you know, it's about the entire league and trying to make sure that the games get played and things like that, I understand that. And I want to be respectful of the people like DeAndre Hopkins and Cole Beasley and listen to their concerns. And I don't want to act like that their concerns aren't valid. It's their concerns.
Yeah.
They have their problems with it. But then again, you're also in a situation where, you know, I hate the whole thing about peer pressure, right?
Yeah.
But this is about a disease that could, you know, just on a sports standpoint, could have a devastating impact on a football team and their season.
Yeah.
And what they're able to accomplish. And so that's where we are with this whole thing. The NFL, they feel like, look, there's a way to solve this problem, in their opinion. That's getting vaccinated. That's going to ensure, at least increase your chance of getting through a season. We feel like that needs to happen. And that's kind of where they are with it. So that's all I have to say about that today.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's unfortunate that politics has led to making a decision on this. It should just be, is it smart from a health and safety standpoint? Yes or no? Should be that. Should be simply that. All right, 909, Jim along with Katie today. The big news today, the Cleveland Indians announcing their new name. They will be the Cleveland Guardians starting next season. And the name comes from the Hope Bridge in Cleveland, where there's the two statues on each end of the bridge, which is close to Progressive Field, the home of Cleveland's baseball team. So they rolled out the video today. We played it last hour. We won't play it again because it's like 2 minutes, but it's Tom Hanks, who, Mike from Scottsdale, not a big fan of Tom Hanks.
Right? Yeah, I saw that text.
Not a fan of Tom Hanks. That Tom Hanks narrated it with the music from the Black Keys, who are from Ohio. That was part of the video. But here's the haiku from Mike from Scottsdale, by the way.
Oh, it's the full haiku.
Because it got chopped off last time. We'll miss you, Katie. Enjoy the Mile High City, but traffic will suck. There's his haiku.
And yes, he's very accurate with his haiku.
He's gonna call and talk about CU. Of course, he's a diehard Buffs fan, grad of CU. By the way, Tom Hanks is a sanctimonious, smarmy, pandering tool. I wish you, Mike, stop repressing. Stop holding back how you feel about things.
Tell us how you really feel.
Repression is never, ever, ever good. From Haas this morning. Good luck, Katie. I've enjoyed listening to you. So
thank you.
We've enjoyed having you work here as well. All right, 970-242-1340. Okay, so Nelson Cruz gets dealt. That's been the big to Tampa Bay. That's been the big pre-draft or trade, or should say trade deadline move. Of course, the trade deadline from Major League Baseball is coming up on the 30th of this month. And so, but the Rockies starting the series in L.A. tonight against the Dodgers. What could happen? Well, right now, if you look at where the Rockies are, that Trevor Story remains the number one tradable piece that they have right now. He's 28. According to the Denver Post, all the indications are that he'll reject the Rockies' qualifying offer and become a free agent. Trading Story would take about $6.2 million off the books for the rest of the season. Rockies might get some prospects in return, hopefully better than what they got for Nolan Arenado. And then they could move Brendan Rodgers to shortstop. And right now it looks like the A's, the White Sox, the Mets, Reds, and Cardinals. Well, how painful would that be if he
don't go to St. Louis. Please don't go to St. Louis.
So in the case of Chicago, of course, right now they're leaders in the National League Central, that they have Tim Anderson at shortstop, but Trevor could play second base. And so that's kind of where they would plug him in potentially. And then if he goes to the Mets, Trevor could replace Francisco Lindor, who has a oblique injury right now. And then you could move Trevor Story to second when Lindor comes back. So what's going to be the hang up here for Bill Schmidt, interim GM? He said he's willing to hold on to Story and receive a compensatory pick next summer. Second, several contending teams are pretty much set at shortstop. And Trevor Story's not having a Trevor Story-like year.
Yeah. Sitting
243, 11 home runs, 43 ribbies. So they may feel like down numbers. We already have our guy. The value for Trevor Story in 2021 may not be that strong. Then you have John Gray. Gray's 29, scheduled to become a free agent. He's had the scare with a sore right elbow, but after that, he's come back and pitched really well, posting a 3.68 ERA. Gray has said previously he would like to stay with the Rockies. Okay. But that doesn't mean that that's in the best interest of the Rockies to keep him. And look, Bill Schmidt has not closed the door on that possibility either of trying to re-sign John Gray.
Mm-hmm.
So if Gray wants to stay, Rockies feel like they want to keep him, then maybe that will come together. But the Mets have been a team that's been mentioned as a possible trade partner. They've had injuries in their rotation. The Padres have said they'll exceed the luxury tax if they have to. There's been some rumors about him going to the Dodgers. But so far, that's just a lot of talk, and there's little substance to some of those trade rumors. First baseman C.J. Cron, he'll be a free agent at 31. Not a long-term answer at first base. He's been pretty good there this year, though. 14 home runs and 831 OPS. That his right-handed power could be attracted to a lot of different teams. The Brewers and Rays were mentioned first, but now Nelson Cruz is going to Tampa, so you can take Tampa off that list of interested teams for him. Cron, it looks like there's a good chance they might be able to get some prospects in a trade for him, a team that needs his bat in the lineup. They're not going to get a king's ransom for him, but they could get a little return on a guy that does not really factor into their future plans. And then you got the bullpen, Michael Givens, Daniel Bard. Every team needs bullpen help. That are teams that are in pursuit of a wild card or trying to get to the postseason. Givens has actually been okay. He has a 2.93 ERA in 27 and two-thirds. He is a pending free agent, by the way, which makes him obviously a potential trade asset for the Rockies. Bard, 3.86 ERA, 15 saves, but he's 36. Remember the story? He dropped out of baseball for a while
yeah.
after having a good start to his career at the Red Sox. he's not been great this year. So there are teams that will certainly have an interest in both of those guys. Now, Bard, there's a feeling that the Rockies value his leadership in the bullpen and that he might stick around while Givens is probably very much on his way out. So we'll see how this all goes. But for the Rockies, those are some names to kind of keep an eye on as we get closer to the trade deadline. But they're not going to get what they would have got for Trevor Story previously.
Yeah, which is a bummer. I mean, because he's still a high-quality player, obviously. And you'd hope that you would get something in return, especially after the Nolan Arenado thing went down. Like, now we want even more for him just because we missed out so bad right on that one.
Well, and now the feeling is going to be, okay, can they get more for him in season, or is that compensatory pick more valuable to them?
Yeah.
And you take a shot, okay, maybe we can try to convince him to stay here, which I think good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where Bill Schmidt's going to have to make the decision. This is where, man, you really wish you had the guy that was going to be your GM, which that's why I still think the guy that's their interim GM will be the guy that will be their GM when it's said and done.
Yeah.
I think Bill Schmidt will keep
official.
I think Bill Schmidt will keep that job, which I don't think that's great for the Rockies, to be quite honest.
No, they need something completely different. Somebody who has a very fresh set of eyes, you know.
Absolutely.
But for me personally, I guess I've already kind of accepted that Trevor Story is, you know, going to be shipped off somewhere. I'd rather them focus on keeping John Gray around. I would.
Yeah.
I'd rather them put their efforts towards that.
I could not agree with you more. I think that you need Freeland, Marquez, and Gray to stay around, and then you can look at filling in the back half of that rotation.
Exactly.
You know, I guess they like Bard. Okay, keep him at the closer spot. I just feel like I'm not even that sold on keeping Daniel Bard, to be quite honest. But they like him, and so they feel like he's still a valuable piece in that Rockies bullpen. All right, 9:17, and we're going to go camping with Palisade Bulldogs football coach Joe Romano. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warped, twisted individuals. Yes. Yeah!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. Time to get in the huddle with Palisade coach Joe Romano on the Team.
All right, time to go camping with the Palisade Bulldogs. Bulldogs head football coach Joe Romano joins us. Joe, how you doing this morning?
Doing okay, Jim. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on today. Before we talk about your Bulldogs and going to camp up at Western and everything, I know we had the chance to talk yesterday, but my deepest condolences to you and your family for the passing of your brother, John. Boy, 64, that's just way, way too young to no longer be with us, but he lost his battle with cancer. And gosh, John, just a tremendous guy. And in the times I interacted with him, he was the coach at Eagle Valley. Just my deepest condolences to you, Joe.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's, heavy, heavy heart, but, I was talking to a good buddy this morning on a little bit, and just knew that hey, John got an early promotion. That's the way we kind of looked at it, because we know where he's at. And, things will be good. He was a great mentor, great brother, and, boy, I'll miss him.
Yeah, my heart goes out to you, my friend, on John's passing. Just a tremendous football coach, tremendous molder of young people, and obviously, like you mentioned, played such a huge role in your life as a brother and a friend and as a coach as well. So certainly our condolences go out to you and your family. About your Bulldogs football team, you guys went up to Western and was in the Gunnison camp recently. I guess just kind of the focus and some of the things you were trying to work on with your football team, Joe, during those days in Gunnison.
Well, I had a good group of staff. We took eight guys up there and really appreciate them. Just we're trying to get everything timed back together. Got a lot of new staff and a lot of new faces. But, it was really good for these young kids. We took 53 kids up, and it was, good. I took a lot of young kids just because I felt bad for those freshmen because they really haven't gotten to do anything for couple years here, so it was good for them to get to interact and play a little bit and be part of it. But it was a good camp. It was short. We were, you know, in and out quick. And you rely on a lot of different things, weather and everything else.
Yeah, Joe, we're having a few, looks like we're having a little bit of a cell phone breakup from you, so we're having a little bit of a rough signal from you at the moment. You there, Joe?
I broke out too.
We might want to grab Joe off the air here and see if we can get a better connection, because we're unfortunately kind of losing him a little bit. We're talking with Palisade football coach Joe Romano. The Bulldogs went up to camp at Western recently to compete up there, and just finding out the focus of the offseason for the Bulldogs football team and some of those things. So we hope to get Joe back on in just a moment. Coming up, we'll have This Day in Sports History. We'll also pick somebody to win a Fat Tire on this Fat Tire Friday from New Belgium Brewery and High Country Beverage, and also somebody's going to win Qdoba today as well. So we're working on maybe trying to get a different phone number for Joe to try to contact him and talk with him about his Bulldogs football team. Still time to text in today to the show, 970-242-1340. See, Charlie, heartfelt explanation. Good job, team. Well, thank you, Charlie. I know that not everybody probably feels that way in regard to the vaccination debate, but I appreciate you appreciate your comments and your thoughts about that, because it's definitely been something that not everybody agrees on. No doubt about that. So you got one from Colin. I'll miss your laugh, Katie. So much like Amy Lawrence laughs, my two favorite lady sports radio hosts. Good luck. Keep your laugh in Denver. Love women with sports knowledge. God bless and good luck. So, yeah.
That's so sweet.
All right. So, were you able to reconnect with Joe?
Yes.
Okay.
He's on his landline.
Okay.
So.
Joe, sorry about that. The cell phone was yeah. just not.
No, that's not you, Jim. That's me. I'm real. I don't get reception. I'm not even a mile away from the interstate. So.
Yeah. I have that problem sometimes too, Joe. I have that issue with my cell phone. Let's go back to the Western camp though, because unfortunately, started to break up during a lot of that.
Okay.
You going up there and competing. I know Grand Junction was up there and Montrose, and I believe Delta was up there as well. I think Junction was at the previous camp before maybe the one you attended. But just take us through a little bit. You mentioned your freshman kids. They really have kind of missed out in regard to some off-season opportunities and a chance to give them some valuable experience at the Western camp.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that with normally we don't take a lot of freshmen. We'll take a few, but this year we ended up taking 22 of them because these poor kids hadn't gotten to do any football for a while. So it was good for them to get to interact and go, and we're excited. We've got a really solid freshman group coming in, so it was good to take them up there with us. But it was a great camp for us. We had Montrose and Roosevelt, were the two premier teams, and then Volcano Vista at Albuquerque was a very, very good football team as well. So it was good for us. We had a good time, good competition, and competed every day.
You mentioned a change in your coaching staff. Landon McKee leaves, and Landon, now the head coach at Grand Junction High School. Jared Frazier was on that staff as well. So you've had to bring in some new faces, and you have to play some guys that have been there for a very, very long time on your coaching staff.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes with coaching. I mean, you got, everybody's moving and doing things. But I've been blessed. We've got some good guys. My right-hand man, Pat Steele, that guy, I love him. He's just solid, and he's really stepped in and done a great job. Brandon Moore comes. He was with us, but we've got him more elevated role now and got some things going there. Two guys that Brian Rush was with us a year ago, lot of football experience, and then Dave Carlo's back with us again, so that's really good. And we got a couple of new hires, Chris Harrington, that is going to really help, and then a guy that's going to be back with me that I really, really am excited about, because he really helped me through all the years. Chuck Nissen's going to come back and help me. So, it's good. You kind of reload. We're just trying to get to know each other. And one other guy, Mark Harris, who had coached 20-some years at Junction, and he's out with us too. So, it's a good mix, and we're just trying to, learn. Everybody's trying to learn the scheme a little bit and get going. But it's an exciting time, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
We're talking to Palisade head football coach Joe Romano. And speaking of new coaches, Coach, you know, your first game going up against Rifle, and they've got quite a new situation up there with Case Beer going to Durango. So Whittington, the new head coach in Rifle, and he played for you at Mesa State. So what about going up against Rifle your first game? What's your anticipation for that?
Well, it's going to be a tough one because I know they've got a nucleus back that is going to be very, very good. Ryan is an excellent football coach, as everybody has seen what he's done throughout his time at Delta. And I know he'll have a great mix because he's a Rifle alumni. I remember recruiting him there and watching him as a senior. And, you know, I believe they won the state title that year. They're just an outstanding group. So I know that they'll be tough. And you know what? For us, we had a team that canceled on us because they didn't like the schedule that Chassa threw out there for this go round, and I can't control that, but I can't put a big long travel trip. So we were excited to be able to get somebody as close as we were with Rifle, and great competition. Our schedule is loaded.
Yeah,
it's loaded. With Rifle, also another team, Delta, who's a perennial state competitor, championship games and stuff. So, you know, that one. And then we played Montrose, who we saw at camp, who is just really, really tough. Brent does a great job there. And so we know we've got our hands full throughout the preseason and then getting into the conference.
Palisade football coach Joe Romano is joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Up at the Western Camp, I'm sure you got plenty of reps for Malachi Espinosa, who played last year in four games at the quarterback spot for you. Franklin Barks had a little bit of time at the quarterback spot as well. He's your top returning rusher from last season, mostly played in the backfield last year. But how does that quarterback situation look after the Western Camp?
Well, Malachi is our front runner, and he does a great job. I know he works individually with Cam Tucker quite a bit. Just with our option game, and it's been great because he's a great little leader. He's not the 6'4", 200-pound kid, but he's a guy that's got a competitive heart of a guy that's 6'4", 230. So we're excited about what he brings, and we're trying to match and mix everything to fit our players. A lot of that goes with, we got to have that Palisade tough attitude, and got to continue with Franklin doing what he does at the running back position. We got some young guys that are going to have to step in tough to replace Julio Rodriguez at the fullback, but we're going to get Rhett Ward and Maddox Castor. Both of those two are running some fullback stuff for us. But, everybody's going to fit kind of where we go, but Coach Steele's done a great job getting the line ready to go. We feel like those guys have gotten better and got better at camp each day.
Joe Romano, coach of the Palisade Bulldogs football team with us. Let's talk about your offensive line and what that unit looks like after the Western Camp.
Well, we're led up front. Aaron Harris leads us up front, and he just is a solid, solid young man, plays center. Then we got Walter and a couple of guys at guard. One of the guys that was really, really solid for us didn't even get to go to camp with us, Nico Marino, and he'll make a huge impact. He's one of the best linemen in the state. And all of our guys play both ways, so they play both sides of the ball, so we make sure we try to mix them and get them going a little bit. But, we're led, really. Kevin Shugreen leads us, so he's one of our top players both offensively and defensively, but Kevin plays the tight end position, which is just a glorified tackle. And he's a young man that moved down for us last year when we had some COVID quarantines. He moved down from tight end, played tackle at the last part of the year, and did a great job.
And Kevin Shugreen also was your top tackler last year with 64 tackles. Take us through what you saw from your defense.
Man, it was fun because we're doing some different stuff and trying to get things moving. But Kevin's a true leader for us there and getting guys in position, and a lot of fun. You know, he's he verbaled to Wyoming, so it's an exciting time in his life. Different, the recruiting thing is different, tougher for those kids because everybody's still got another year eligibility. But it's really we're really proud of Kevin and the leadership that he has brought to us. You know, he flows the field really well, plays inside linebacker for us, and does a great job there.
Well, Joe, I always appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and take care, my friend.
Hey, I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for all the support, everybody out there.
Take care. Joe Romano, coach of the Palisade Bulldogs, with us. And like I said, once again, our condolences going out to Joe and his family over the passing of his brother, John. I know that that's obviously is weighing heavy on Joe's heart these days, and certainly did not expect his brother to pass away at the age of 64, but cancer came on kind of quickly, and unfortunately, John could not win that battle against cancer. But also should mention, too, that Mike Eckenrod, that played basketball at Mesa, that a lot of people knew from officiating basketball, and if you went to work out at the old Grand Junction Athletic Club back in the day, Mike was always there as well. And Mike lost his battle with cancer this past weekend, and a memorial service is set for him tonight out at Tiarato at 6 o'clock. So if you knew Mike Eckenrod, that played basketball for Mesa State back in the 80s, worked for UPS for many, many years. Mike, I think, 54 years old, losing his long battle with cancer. That is tonight, by the way, out at Tiarato to honor Mike Eckenrod. All right, 9:33. Jim along with Katie today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Thanks for joining us in the program today. Katie's last show with us before she moves to Denver. So if you got some farewell wishes for Katie today, please send that our way to the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Let's get to this day in sports history. We go back to 1962. Jackie Robinson became the first black player to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. 1978, Pete Rose hit successfully in his 36th straight game as the Cincinnati Reds beat Montreal 5-4 at Olympic Stadium. His streak would finish at 44 games, the third longest streak in baseball history. Also on this day, 1989, Bill Elliott won the AC Spark Plug 500 at the Pocono International Raceway in Long Pond, Pennsylvania. 1995, Miguel Indurain won his fifth straight Tour de France. 1996, Kerry Strug clinched the gold medal for the U.S. women's gymnastics team with a 9.712 score in the vault. Remember, she did that on the injured ankle
at the
Summer Games in Atlanta. It was the first ever gold medal for the U.S. women's gymnastics team. And also on this day, 2011, Justin Upton and Miguel Montero collectively drove in 11 runs in Arizona's 12-3 win over
the Rockies, probably.
At Chase Field.
Yeah.
The Rockies. Ouch. All right. So text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Jim along with Katie today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. And the Jim Davis Show is brought to you by FanDuel. While the world hunts for gold in Tokyo, you can unlock FanDuel's gold medal bonus. America's number one sports book is hooking all users up with $1 for every USA gold medal. Just place $100 or more in Olympic bets before July 26th. To get started, here's some of my picks for the Olympics. We're talking about gymnastics. Kerry Strug, right?
Mm-hmm.
Simone Biles.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the greatest gymnast in U.S. history.
Goat.
Maybe the greatest gymnast ever.
Mm-hmm.
But Simone Biles, favored to win the gold in the women's vault. Also, USA men's and women's basketball, favored to win gold medals. But you can bet on any Olympic event. Baseball, soccer, track and field. Don't bet on the U.S. women's team. That's gone, by the way, sadly. But you can bet on track and field and more. And whatever you choose, just remember to place $100 or more in Olympic bets before July 26 to get a $1 bonus for every USA gold medal. Promotions like these are just one of the reasons why I love betting with America's number one sports book. The app is really easy to use. Fast paths, they get you your money as little as 24 hours. So don't mess around. Start winning with FanDuel. Newsers, don't forget to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use the promo code KTMM to go for the gold today. That promo code KTMM. 21 and older, present in Colorado, bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $50. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
On the morning. morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 940. Jim along with Katie Mitchell today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles, Katie's last show today. So Buffalo Mark stopped by to...
He did.
...to tell you goodbye.
Oh, gave me some flowers. This is a little,
oh.
I know. Everybody's little, so
little
sweet.
A little goodbye to you, right?
Yeah.
This is what? Is this Scandal?
It is Scandal. Oh. Yes. You win the DJ competition.
It's what... What, the warrior in this song, right?
Yes.
From Patti Smyth?
Yes.
You know the story about Patti Smyth and Van Halen, right?
I do not know this story.
That when the whole fallout with David Lee Roth happened,
uh-huh.
and he left after the 1984 album, that, you know, Eddie and the guys were looking around to find a replacement. And one of the names that came up was Patti Smyth. And at that time, I believe she was pregnant, and so it was not going to work out. But initially, at one point, Patti Smyth was in the running to replace David Lee Roth. Eventually,
wow.
Of course, it was Sammy Hagar, which turned out to be a pretty genius move on the part of Van Halen.
Yeah, I can't knock that.
But imagine Van Halen with Patti Smyth. That would have been a different sound. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And not a bad one.
No, Patti not a bad.
Smyth's fabulous.
Just would have been different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the Patti Smyth Van Halen story. Back in the day.
Could have been.
What could have been. I think they also, if I remember reading correctly, they had talked to like Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates.
Really?
And Daryl Hall's like, nah, I don't think I'm a good fit for you guys. Who was an amazing singer, but he's like, I don't think what I do is probably a good fit. Not at all. All right. By the way, this morning, news coming out this morning, the Cleveland baseball team releasing their video of their brand new name. They're the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah.
And it comes from the Hope Bridge in Cleveland, where there's the statues, I think it's each end of the bridge. And Buckeye Boy said they're the guardians of the traffic.
Yes.
And so, and that's right by Progressive Field, the Hope Bridge is. And so.
Makes sense.
It makes some sense. Initially, I'm going, Guardians, it sounds like some, like if they were going to do a TV show about a football team, like a fictional football team.
Yes.
Or something like that. It's a made-up name. It actually has some tie into the Cleveland area. So I've changed my opinion about it since it actually has local ties. It's not bad.
Yeah. As have I, because I was thinking Guardians of the Galaxy. That's the first
exactly.
thing that popped into my head. But I didn't know the connection with the Hope Bridge. So once Rio said that, I'm like, okay. It's fitting then. That makes
Rocket
sense.
Rocket Raccoon's going to be the mascot.
I mean, yeah, that's what I was
Which
like.
Would be great. Like Stogie in his mouth.
Yeah.
A little ball cap on.
And
all right, Yankees, we're ready for you.
Guardians of the Galaxy, that's with the tree too, right? Groot.
Groot, I am Groot, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean.
But they try to make a bat out of him, which would be.
Oh, no. This just got morbid.
I am bat. No, I don't think that's probably a good idea. Got Dave Bautista be out there, you know, shirtless, be the DH.
I'd stick around for that.
whoa, settle down there. Chris Pratt?
Oh, yes, again.
Not Fat Pratt?
Not Fat Pratt, the Guardians of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt.
So, I'm warming up to the name. I am warming up to the name. The Cleveland Guardians. Let's see. We got... I have a much younger coworker who is devastated that Katie is leaving. She was going to try to impress her with his new Limp Bizkit haircut, two tribal tattoos, lifted his truck and finishes every sentence with, sounds good, brah.
That does sound good, brah.
On the hat on backwards, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah.
From
backwards
Steve.
Hat. Got to be backwards
you're right,
hat, Because
right
guys.
There, that would have been the clincher for you,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
The backwards other stuff, hat, tribal guys. Tattoo, forget all that. But the hat backwards,
yeah,
oh.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that. I really am.
Sucker for the backward hat.
Not going to lie, Steve. You know me.
Chris said, Jim, did I hear you say keep Daniel Bard? No, there's talk that the Rockies want to keep Daniel Bard. And
yes.
I'm like, okay, I guess if you, because they like his leadership in the bullpen. No, Chris, that's what the article in the Post said. that the Rockies are kind of, that they like his leadership and they're inclined to keep him.
Yeah.
I'm okay if they move on from him. I really am. I mean, it's a nice story. It was a nice story at one point. But no, I said, yeah, okay, if you want to keep him, fine. But teams are going to look for bullpen help. Maybe somebody will take a flyer on him. Maybe.
Yeah.
But no, I'm with you. I'm not a huge Daniel Bard fan. I like the story. I think the story's been great. He's not been good this year.
No.
He's got 15 saves. He's not great. It was a cool story. You know, he'd been out of baseball, had, you know, got off track with the, you know, when he was at the Red Sox. He was out in Arizona working with pitchers and got on the bump one day and was like, hey, I feel pretty good now. I feel like I've got my control back. And it's turned into a great story. He's 36 years old.
Exactly. Yeah. Time's ticking with Daniel Bard.
Exactly. So, no, that's what the Rockies, at least that's the impression that, I think it was Patrick Saunders who wrote that piece, that the impression he has from the Rockies that they like Bard and they're probably going to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
So, if he goes, I'm okay with that. All right, 9:46. Speaking of old guys, still doing their thing. Let's go ahead and get to garbage time today.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
Did you hear the comments from Tom Brady the other day? Because remember, he's only going to play to like 44 or 45.
Only.
Now Brady's saying, well, you know, I might actually play longer than what I was.
Until he's 50? What, I mean, how much longer does he have?
I don't know. Now, Brady did say that week four is probably, you know, when the Bucs play it at Foxborough, is probably my last game in Foxborough. That, you know, I'll be there for a visitor for the very first time. He says, unfortunately, we're going to be on different sides of the stadium this time. I've got a lot of familiarity playing in that stadium. You know, we've got to first get to training camp and then see where we're going to be and then get through the first 3 weeks of the year. But I'm sure it'll be a great opportunity for me to go back to a place I know as well as anyone. It'll be a great day of football. And he did acknowledge that, yes, age is a factor.
Well, yeah.
And then I don't think I'm going to be playing there. I'll be 44 this season, by the way. But there's, Brady was like not counting out that he plays till he's 46 or 47. And with the way the format is, he wouldn't play there till he's 52.
Yeah.
That'd be the next time. So by him saying that it's his last game at Foxborough doesn't mean that this is his last year or anything like that. It just means he doesn't plan on playing when the Bucks are taking on the Patriots when he's 52 years old.
52.
He's going to be done by then.
Oh, my God. If he is playing at 52, though, man.
And still doing what he's doing?
Yeah. I mean, I might just have to say I am a Tom Brady fan at that point, you know, because how could you deny something like that?
One other thing, too, on the Tom Brady front, I read this that, and it was from something from Sports Illustrated, that he likes going to Target. He likes going to the Target store near his, you know, Giselle and his home and the kids' home in Tampa. He likes going there. He says one of the things he likes to do is come up and talk to people.
Oh, that's good. You know, and what,
that,
though?
And that he said that the comment that I read was that I want every interaction to be a really positive one for the person he's talking to and for himself. That he never wants people to walk away going, wow, got to meet Tom Brady. What a big jerk that guy was.
Well,
and that's people that are fans and not fans.
Yeah.
That he's like, I even, you know, I get people that don't like me from my Patriots days, but I still try to have a really good interaction with people, and because I like people and I want people to think I'm a decent guy.
Well,
I thought it was kind of cool.
That
I mean,
that's neat. Look at that. Like, Tom Brady, like, just like me and you.
The more he's away from the Patriots, the more I like him.
Yeah, he's a little more likable with Tampa Bay, isn't he?
Way more likable.
Yeah, I agree. Because he doesn't have that Belichick demeanor anymore. Because
no.
He kind of like, because Belichick was the way he was, very standoffish, didn't talk much to media, you know, kind of had that hierarchy about him. Tom Brady almost had that about him as well, you know?
Like, right. Well, he kind of towed the company line and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so he is a lot more likable with Tampa Bay. And again, I love that he likes Target because that just proves he is just like us.
Come on. Well,
kind of,
sort of,
in certain ways.
Kind of, sort of.
Do you eat bread?
We breathe air. We drink water. And we've probably had avocados, right? You've had an avocado before.
Yeah.
Obviously, he does. And I have too. So, all right. What do you have?
Actually, I wanted to kind of give a follow-up on a story we've been talking about all morning with Texas and Oklahoma, as the Four Letter Network just printed a little bit ago.
Did you call
them
the Four Letter there for a moment?
Four Letter.
The Four Letter. Okay.
Four Letter Network. They posted a story about the fact that Texas and Oklahoma could make their move to the SEC official in a matter of weeks.
Ooh.
Yeah, they say that a Big 12 source believed talks between the SEC and the two schools had been going on for more than 6 months. And though SEC member Texas A&M had been left out, another source saying it's inaccurate that A&M was left out of the conversation is coming off ESPN. So this may come to fruition a lot sooner than we think it will. A couple weeks is what this story says.
It'll be probably a couple of years before they go.
Yeah.
But could be happening. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Moving very, very fast. And so Steve Sarkisian, who's now the coach of Texas, he had to know this was happening, right?
He had to. I mean,
I mean, how could they not tell him, hey, by the way, we're planning on moving to the SEC, just to let you know, be ready for that.
Yeah.
We're just going to move to the toughest conference in college football.
It just makes you think that people knew about it, right? Like it's not as unveiled as people have been saying it is.
My thing is, how did they keep it quiet as long as they did?
Well, and the fact that they're saying it may be a disgruntled school that leaked it to stop it from happening.
Texas A&M,
I know, right? Yeah, I wonder who that could be.
Yeah, I wonder who. Oh, one final thing here. You know, the Packers already have the ongoing drama. This is not a
Rodgers!
No.
This guy,
not an official Rodgers update. It's Rodgers adjacent, so to speak. About the Packers and Devontae Adams trying to work out a contract extension while this Aaron Rodgers saga is going on. That Adams representatives and the Packers have broken off extension talks, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Media. Adams was looking to become the highest paid wideout in football. Green Bay did not make an offer that reflected that. As a result, the talks are now in a bad place after months of negotiations.
Eek.
And that this is adding to the issue with Rodgers.
Yeah.
That obviously if Rodgers wants to come back and play for Green Bay, Devontae Adams has to be there, his top target.
Exactly.
And so, and Rodgers, you know, he's upset with this. James Jones, who played with Rodgers in Green Bay, has kind of become somewhat of a unofficial mouthpiece, so to speak, for Aaron Rodgers. He said that that Rodgers is fed up with the team letting veteran players walk rather than resigning them. And so this deal with Devontae Adams is another thing, that another axe for Aaron Rodgers to grind in his unhappiness with the Packers.
Yeah, and I think it just makes even more sense if he decides not to play for Green Bay. I mean, the reasons are just, did you see what Shailene Woodley came out and said about him, that it is the mistreatment of Rodgers? And
right, your mom
know,
and her both shared the video of Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, and liked it and everything. Like, yeah. So they agree with his mistreatment up in Green Bay, and that's why he's looking. I know, right? You're like, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's not like they're making him come in a separate entrance. You know,
exactly. Not making him, you know,
clean the bleachers after practice. Like, they're not making him do
exactly
that stuff.
It's not like an Office Space having to come in on the weekend and fill out the with the TP reports or whatever they I forget what they're called on Office Space.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that was it. That was
I got one final thing to mention here. By the way, for our friends over at GJ Golf, PXG is going to be at GJ Golf doing demos from 11 to 4 o'clock this coming Tuesday, by the way.
Neat.
So call GJ Golf or go into the shop to get an appointment. Check them out online, ggolf.net, but that PXG will be at GJ Golf 11 to 4 on Tuesday. Once again, call GJ Golf or go to their website to make your appointment. All right. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for all you've done here.
You've
been a delight to work with, and I know that you're going to do great things over on the front range with the fan and your old media school as well. So, and be with your daughter as well. So We're going to miss having you around here.
I just want to say, yeah.
Bring in the happy, sunny spirit that you always bring to the program.
Thank you so much. And the pile, you guys have been great. Again, you've just accepted me as one of your own. And, you know, I love that we can all give each other a hard time, but it's all out of love. And I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to hang on to these memories for the rest of my life. So just thank you so much for everything you've done for me.
Yeah, thank you for doing the show and all the games you've hosted over the years and ran back here. So and the fine work you've always done. So we're going to miss having you around here, Katie.
Thank you, Jim. I'm going to miss it.
All right. Well, that's our show for today. I'll have that little bitter ball of hate, the Buckeye boy, with me on Monday. 7 to 10, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. We'll see you back here on Monday.